This is Kira from the Edinburgh Reporter speaking with Balazs Just, who's one of the directors over for the Edinburgh International Film Festival, having directed The Man Who Was Thursday. First of all, Balazs, I am curious why you chose Chesterton's novel, The Man Who Was Thursday. Clearly, it's a bit of a psychological thriller already, which you seem to be quite adept with, having looked at your history and background with your shorts. But obviously, you've completely altered that story. First of all, if you could tell me why you decided to choose that and what made you put it into the context of religion.
The first person to ever direct my attention to the book was István Szabó, Academy Award-winning director of Mephisto and Being Julia and Sunshine and those films. He is a mentor of mine, family friend, and he was the one who first told me about the book over a lunch. And the basic premise that captivated me was the fact that here are seven people that don't know that they're up against each other, and yet the artificially installed fear in them is what sustains the working of this entire group. So basically, it's a generalization for the entire population, if you will. That's how establishments, that's how tyrant dictatorships, or that's how any system functions. It installs artificial fear that is completely irrelevant and wouldn't even exist. And then what does it take to bring it down? What does it take to abolish something that doesn't physically exist? It only exists in your head. So that's what drew me to it originally. Now, to make it a little more exciting than the Chesterton original, which in book works perfectly and it's one of my absolute favorite reads, but on screen, to listen to a poet and a few other gentlemen philosophizing about literature over dinner tables in top hats and maybe doing one chase across London is probably not as exciting for, 2.5 hours. So at the end of which, of course, the book, you are told that none of this is actually true. It was just a nightmare. You can't do that on film. So I needed a setting and an environment that is more visually enticing for today's audience, a little bit more relatable, and a doubt of faith and a self doubt in that is something that we all face at some point in our lives, and who better to embody that than a priest? Now, which religion do I land with? It was obvious that the most popular one that everybody sort of knows, and I don't have to explain. And that's how it ended up being lifted to that.
And I guess that is why it was maybe set in Italy. Can you expand on maybe why you chose to shoot it there rather than London?
Well, because it was with the Catholic Church from, so yeah, and that's where they're headquartered. So it kind of made sense. But we actually shot it in Budapest. We only shot in Rome for 2 days, and the rest of it was all Budapest. Yeah.
Beautiful city.
Well, Rome is, and
and our, Budapest.
And our production designer and our directors and everybody worked really hard to turn Budapest into Rome.
Elements of this, watching it last night, actually reminded me a little bit, looking more at Hollywood films of, Vanilla Sky or maybe Linklater's Waking Life, in regards to the being unable to differentiate between the dream state and the, the real state. Are these films which may have influenced on the surreal aspect of the film? Have you seen these and have they...
Yes, I have seen them, but I actually didn't think of them as reference points. It's really interesting,
yes,
though.
Really,
you're saying something really cool. It didn't strike me. The ones that actually did influence me were Polanski's Tenet and Ninth Gate, and some of the '80s Jacob's Ladder, Angel Heart, and a few others. Like I'm a huge fan of Jean-Pierre Melville. So Le Samurai, which is all about loneliness and just finding your way when you're completely alienated when surrounded. So all those were sort of the guiding lights in front of me in pulling this off.
But Winning the Sky is a really good reference. Yes, I'm going to start using it. Thank you.
No problem. So obviously it's a very stylized, plot-driven feature, you know, with, you know, some great performances by, well, including yourselves. This is a bit of a difficult question because I didn't realise you two would be here, but was that your first choice of actors? Did you get your first choice?
I can
horrible
be open
question
about this.
I wasn't.
She wasn't.
Can you just, for the sake of the recording?
Ana Ularu. Okay. The way it happened was we had actually another male lead cast first, who then we lost due to scheduling conflicts. And he was actually older than François Arnaud. So we were looking for female leads next to him. But then when we lost him due to scheduling conflicts, and we started talking about, so who do we get to lead the film? And then I was like, well, here's an opportunity. Why don't we go younger? And then we found François. And when we found François, I'm like, okay, so we want to match him. And then I was actually we were looking everywhere, and I couldn't find anyone, and there were a couple of choices up, but there was one girl that came close, but then she kind of asked the wrong question in a phone conversation, and I still gave her the way out, but she chose the wrong way out, so that was that. And then Anna, I saw in Romania, where we were going to shoot the film in Romania at one point. And then we were always going to cast Tuesday's role at a local, from a local pool of actors. And
We didn't meet in Romania,
but and Tuesday doesn't say much in the film, has a very pivotal role, but doesn't have much to say. Whereas Saturday is a constant talking role. Mm-hmm. But I sent Anna, you know, three monologues from Saturday's roles. She taped them, sent it over, and, you know, I started watching it, started crying, and 10 seconds in, I said, yeah, we have a Saturday.
Perfect. And can I just ask the two of you, what made you guys say yes to the script? Who wants to go first?
So I read the script, and initially I was offered the role of Tuesday, which I thought was brilliant, and I love the idea because this ties in a lot to things I'm very interested in, which is anarchy and crisis of faith and blah blah blah. I'm a great reader of Hitchens, for example, and so on and so forth. But I Christopher Hitchens, yes,
not the brother.
Although that debate is brilliant between the two of them.
I've been in the same room as his brother and his wife, and it was just quite bizarre. It was obviously just after the passing. But, yes. Sorry,
But you need to see that the debate between the two of them, between the brothers.
Okay, I've not
seen that. Because it's beautiful,
yet.
Like completely conflicting. Anyway. And I read the script and I thought this is something very interesting. The fact that there are two characters, and I realized at some point that it's the same. It would have to be the same actress playing the two of them. And because I like the whole chameleonic aspect of what acting is supposed to be, I thought this would be a very interesting challenge. Now, I'm not the kind of person who would ever go up to a director, especially one that I didn't know, and say, listen, can I audition for that? So I had the impulse to do such a thing, but luckily for me, they beat me to the punch and they asked me to take for it first. Only gave me an hour and 6 pages of monologue, but it's fine. And then, you know, the true toil began, I think, because it's very interesting that all the elements that can inspire you in creating a role, which can range from anything to from seeing a certain painting to listening to a certain bit of music, classical or punk at that point, it's that kind of a range, to, you know, poetry and drama and Lord Byron, which was a huge influence on me even before Cain's, Lucifer's monologue in Cain. So it was just